Fired by a reflex action, her round smashing into the concrete wall a yard from Dean, gouging out a chunk of weathered stone. She staggered sideways, her left hand clawing toward a knife that dangled in a homemade beaded sheath on her left hip. Ryan stepped in and kicked her hard, with a planned, brutal efficiency, feeling the impact of the steel toe cap as it pulped her right knee. Tire. Ryan's first blow landed across the muty woman's left ear.
Fuck you!
You tell me now or you tell me later. Sooner is easier, and later is a whole lot harder.
Christ, Ryan.
Mildred was simply unable to hide her distaste for what was happening.
You sound like someone in a cheap gangster novel.
Dean had been sent to wait outside and keep watch, though Ryan didn't think there was any danger of a search party coming out after the four women for some time yet. Their prisoner was still clothed, her ankles bound with thin waxed twine, thumbs tied behind her back. Though with the shattered elbow and the broken knee, she wasn't going anywhere.
You think I like beating up on a helpless woman, Mildred? I get off on it? Because if you think that, then you don't know me. And I don't fucking know you at all.
Carter's flaring anger came from nowhere, flooding over his mind like a tumbling veil of spilled crimson. Ryan could feel the scar across his cheek throbbing with his rage. His fist was clenched as he turned to face Mildred.
You want to know where they've taken Christy. So do we, Ryan. Let me ask her.
She won't talk.
I'm a doctor. I can help to ease pain. I know how to cause it. Better than a brutish and bloody beating, Ryan.
As the blinding fury receded back into its hidden lair, Ryan calmed down.
You got any drugs that'd make her tell us what we want?
Mildred shook her head.
No.
The female mutie's eyes turned frantically from face to face.
You won't know. And if you fucking know, it won't do you no good. We got her now, like we've always known we would.
What do you mean you've always known about her?
Ryan shook the mutie by the shoulder.
Midnight's Law said we'd have a leader from beyond, and that she'd have a head of flaming, burning fire. And now we got her, and you can't do fuck about it, can you?
Ryan shrugged and turned away.
Mildred, do what you have to. Just find out how to get into their base. Best if she comes with us to show us, but that's difficult. Could easily make some kind of noise.
What are we planning to do about her afterward, Ryan?
He simply looked at her, his face like frosted granite, saying nothing. It took less than 10 minutes. Ryan walked outside to keep watch with Dean, leaving JB inside with Mildred and their prisoner. The boy hadn't said anything at first. Then, as the noises began behind them, he looked up at his father.
She going to tell us where Christy is?
I hope so.
They're torturing the mutie?
Right.
Hurting her badly?
I don't like this, Dean, but there isn't any other way.
Sure, Dad, I understand about that. Can I go watch?
No.
The mutie was barely conscious, her head slumped on her chest. Her breathing was shallow, harsh, and irregular. Blood soaked her shirt, puddled in her lap. Mildred glanced up at Ryan. She was wiping the blade of a small scalpel on her own pant leg, before returning it carefully to its sheath. Her cheeks were wet, and the tracks of tears showed in the dust on her face.
I hope I never have to do that again.
JB moved to stand by her, and in an uncharacteristic gesture, he put his arm around her, holding her tightly for a dozen heartbeats.
Had to be done.
It's not something that jibes very well with my oath.
She told you?
Yeah, Ryan. She told me.
Go fuck yourselves.
A great clotted gobbet of thick blood dribbled out of the prisoner's mouth, but she didn't move her head.
Well?
Follow the main drag to the east. Keep going until you reach what used to be the L, then turn north a block. Lots of big offices. One has a mark in white paint on it. Go round back to the left. Cellar entrance. In there.
Good.
Dean bent down to try to see into the woman's face.
Think she told the truth?
I'd have been telling the truth. I don't have any doubts about it.
No, John. You probably wouldn't. Torture victims only say what they think you want to hear. There's just as much chance she was lying as not. For all we know, Christy's dead.
Really?
Now what, Ryan?
Wait outside for me.
Ryan motioned to them with his hands.
Won't take a minute.
Ryan thought that the doctor was going to argue with him, but she turned on her heel and walked out into the daylight. Dean followed her, but JB remained behind a moment longer.
Ryan?
Yeah?
Hard.
I know it was, JB. I know it. But you know that it had...
The armorer held his hand up.
Sure, I know it. Mildred did what she had to do. To stop you.
Ryan nodded.
Best get to it.
Sure. See you outside.
JB walked out, his hat tipped back, leaving Ryan alone with the blonde mutie.
Kill me. Please, kill.
Despite being used to pain and death, the depth of suffering in the woman's voice sent a chill down Ryan's spine. Bullets were gold in Deathlands, but he drew the Sig Sauer, the narrow ridges on the trigger against the skin of his index finger. He pressed the gaping mouth of the barrel to the matted hair at the side of the mutie's skull, just behind her left ear. It was nearly evening. Michael had been sleeping, using his long experience of meditation techniques to slip easily into a dream-free rest. Doc had also been dozing, but the pain from his badly sprained ankle kept tugging him back into a state of wakeful confusion. His voice woke Michael.
Emily will have prepared a fine supper for us, I'm sure. We must try to return before the little ones have been sent to the nursery. Perhaps it will be poached salmon and minted potatoes, sugared carrots, and a sauce of parsley. That will not butter many parsnips, will it? Trample not upon my vines! The center will not hold!
Doc!
Huh? What? Oh, yes. Greetings and salutations, dear boy. Went the day well?
Well enough. Dusk's closing in on us. Do you think we're safe here?
Ooh. Still damnably painful. Are we safe here? Are we safe anywhere, Michael? Is no man an island entire unto itself?
Michael smiled.
Ask not for whom the bell tolls, Doc. It tolls for thee. Brother Lewis taught us that.
Doc wasn't listening, his eyes staring out into the gloaming beyond the broken windows.
Tomorrow, Emily. I swear it. The laws of time are at our command, and woe unto any man who stands against us.
It was nearly evening. Christie's visitors had just left her. They had arrived an hour or so earlier. With no Kron and no glimpse of the outdoors, Christie had no way of being sure of the passage of time. There were five of them. The slender Robin, the torchlight dancing off the stud in her nose, Frankie, smelling even worse in the confined space, Laurie, whose face was badly pockmarked and who carried six little over-and-under Derringer pistols tucked into a broad leather belt. The fourth of the women was called Jackie, and she stood several inches over 6 feet tall. She kept smiling, slack-lipped, for no particular reason. When she wasn't smiling, Jackie was constantly sucking at her left thumb, as though it contained the elixir of life. The fifth was the self-styled leader of the Midnights, and her name was Billy. Apart from the grossly protruding eyes, she would have been stunningly beautiful. She was around Christie's, 5'11" in height, with a long tumbling mane of rich chestnut hair. In normal company, it would have been admired for its lustrous fire. In the same room as Christie, it looked dull, more like smoldering embers than a full-hearted inferno of flame. All of them wore the same black clothes and black leather boots, and all carried handguns. Billy had a beautiful chromed Ruger 44 Magnum Blackhawk, with a 10-inch barrel that seemed to go on forever, an enormously powerful 6-round single-action revolver that sat easily against her right thigh in a hand-tooled fast-draw rig made from dark blue leather. Christie knew enough about firearms to spot that a fast-draw rig was a pointless affectation with such a long-barreled blaster. Billy and the other woman stood around Christie in an uncomfortable semicircle. She noticed on their part a curious hesitancy to catch her eye.
We Midnights run Chi-Town. Have for years. Live in the Under-Earth here.
Why'd you lift me like this? What's going on with you?
Old stories in the Ville, told from mother to daughter and on down. How one day we'll leave the dark and go out into the sun. Won't hurt our eyes like it does now. Be led west, way across the Sippy.
By me? You think I'm some sort of messiah? Kaya, you're crazier than bombed out stickies.
You shut the fuck up about us!
Lori drew two of her derringers and flourished them toward Christy.
Let it lie, Lori. Stories say a tall woman with...